when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show. The best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jay Rhodius, Jared Dubois, live on a Sunday evening. Pulling out all the stops. I don't know what those are exactly, what they do, but we're pulling them out, Jared. Just pulling on them all over the place. Just like that.
I don't know. Okay, pulling out the stops. I guess that would be a sink reference. Is that how that first started? Pulling
no, I don't think it's. I don't think it's a sink reference.
Is it a train reference?
Yeah, maybe it's a train reference. Right, you pull out the stops, or maybe it's an organ reference. Don't organs have stops? Like the big, like churchy. I know you don't go to church, but the big churchy organs, aren't those things called stops? You pull out all the stops and it goes, bwah.
That's how little I know about church. I couldn't tell you, man. But I'll tell you what I did do today. I know we got soccer to talk about, but we don't do pop culture enough anymore. So I'll tell you how I spent my day today. You know what I saw today? I saw the new Ghostbusters, and it's pretty damn good.
Oh, you did? You saw the new Ghostbusters.
I found it incredibly entertaining. Now, granted, maybe it's just the age that I am and who I am and what I grew up with, but I found it to be a very fun ride. That's not to say it's not without plot issues and stuff like that from time to time, but it is fun.
This is what I know. Let me see what I know about the new Ghostbusters. You tell me if I'm wrong, right, if I'm remembering all these things, okay? I've seen a trailer for this, but I feel like it was a long time ago. Was this a COVID-19 delayed release situation for the Ghostbusters movie, or was it just had an early trailer and they were always planning on dropping it now?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not a producer on the show. Okay. But I can tell you that there's a part that where there is like a stone building and it has 2021 on it. Obviously, they could have probably changed that down the stretch, but I don't know. I'm not aware of it being delayed at all.
Okay. So I've seen a trailer. It's like
unlike
there's
Top
like a
Gun, which I'm not sure it even exists anymore.
That's true. Maverick. What happened to Maverick? Did they bury it? Anyway,
no idea.
There's a haunted house thing happening here. Is that kind of what's going on? Like there's a legacy element to it, right? Like they have to. This is not happening in New York City, right?
Does not. Okay. It's not in New York City. Oklahoma.
Okay. Oklahoma, that's what I'm saying. Like some dusty bowl somewhere. Also, is it Ivan Reitman's kids involved?
Jason Reitman wrote and directed along with someone else.
I see. But that's all I know.
And he got the feel exactly right. The feel is right.
You're giving it a thumbs up.
Thumbs up, easy. Not even a slightly thumbs up. People who aren't enjoying it, I think there's people that just want to hate things. I honestly, or they're not a fan of the original. That could be the case too. But for anyone over 35 or so, I'm guessing like this is like right in the vein. Like hit me right here.
Yeah, that's okay. Apparently, just making any Ghostbusters movie is a bad idea. People will hate on you for some reason, right? That's what we learned with the rebooted with the women, right? Is that you don't mess with Ghostbusters. That's my favorite thing from when I was 10.
I think it should be like this. That's what I'm going to say. If you're going to mess with it, it should be like this. There's a lot of lore. There's a lot of throwbacks and stuff like that. And it's not.
You can just mess with it. It's okay. The original still exists. I can go back and watch it and enjoy it. And it doesn't matter
like
if you messed with
Rudd?
It. Yes, exactly. How are you not going to
so
like
sexy.
Paul Rudd?
I don't know if you've heard.
All right. If you want to derail the show off the top with some pop culture stuff, I will bring us back to soccer. I do have something I want to ask you, but I want to unveil the newest addition to the wardrobe. Look at my, you see my shirt?
Mm-hmm.
You see my shirt?
It's like a walking billboard.
Apparently, I've just been added to the list. Shout out to Tifosi Footballs for sending me another shirt with an iconic American soccer moment on it. This one, the Man in the Mirror shirt for the podcast listeners who cannot see it.
Credit card debt.
I'm wearing a shirt that has Christian Pulisic pulling up his jersey to show the Man in the Mirror shirt from the Mexico game that I was sent. Just got that yesterday, so thank you very much to them. Jared, we are 1 year away from the World Cup in 2022 starting in Qatar. 1 year away. Now, this is still weird. It's freaking November. It's super cold outside, and I'm sitting here going, is it a year away from the World Cup? I have a question for you. Right now, you're complete, and this can be about DEFCONs and things and various questions about this team. You want to go deep on this, go deep. But I just want your gut instinct. Right now, will the United States be in the World Cup when it begins November 21st, 2022?
Hell yes, they will.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
All right.
I mean, so you heard someone run the numbers recently. It was like 96% at this point that their likelihood to make
That's the thing, though, about the I use those numbers on the radio. You know of a radio show? I have a radio show.
Yeah.
You know about that?
Yeah, I hear you got a strike partner.
WNBC. WNBC.
Oh, you didn't like that? You didn't like
I thought I was your only partner, and all of a sudden you bring in some like hot, like all-time scorer, like beautiful man that they sit next to you. Like, I'm kind of intimidated.
I want a guy who has another name from another culture that he's connected to that is like means like warrior. That's what I need in my life. Chris Wondolowski, he's going to be part of the SiriusXM FC MLS playoff coverage, and I'm going to do my show the day after Thanksgiving with Chris.
See if he makes going deep
that's
jokes.
A thing. I don't think he will. I think he probably won't.
Do what you pay for, right. Folks.
The thing about the numbers, though, I saw those numbers, too. And it's a little bit of like, it wasn't 538.com that did them, but that's the vibe, right? Like, we crunched all the data and based on the rankings and the time of these games and how many are home and away, we believe there was a 96.8% chance the United States will qualify for the World Cup. Does it mean anything? Like, does it really mean anything? The United States is good enough to qualify, but we've seen this play out before where they failed to qualify, right? And again, that's a good point. Jackie says it was 97% before the Trinidad and Tobago game back in 2017, and we saw what happened there.
I don't know. I guess I feel that while it's possible, I feel the schedule is beneficial to the U.S. down the stretch. I feel like, unlike some of the other CONCACAF teams, come the winter window right here, so a lot of the players will be in midseason form. I think that benefits the U.S., whereas last cycle, a lot of the roster was MLS-based, which is not in good form at the time of the year that the games were mattering. So I feel like this is a good stretch ahead for the U.S., and honestly, I'm turning the corner on my optimism for this team. I don't know why. Maybe it's naive of me to do so, but I'm starting to feel like I can trust this team a little bit, and maybe not everyone else is there with me, but I'm right now I'm saying, yeah, they're going to be there. And what I'm really what I'm really stoked for is what you're telling me, Jason, is that there is a decent chance, maybe 1 in 7, a chance or so, that the U.S. may play on Thanksgiving next year.
I don't know what the actual game schedule is.
No,
but
no one
does
yet. The draw hasn't happened.
Right. Right. But yes. I mean, I don't even know what the match days
are.
There
will
be
games.
If the World Cup is starting.
So first of all, I don't have to burn as many vacation days.
Yes. Make it about yourself. Yes. It's 100% about you. Yes. Go ahead.
And
yes.
It also means that I could celebrate the only true American holiday with the USA on my TV at 3 in the morning. What time is it going to be? What time are those games going to be?
Do I want?
Is it going to ruin my Thanksgiving? Now that I think about it, I'm going to be up like at 3 in the morning.
No, it's not like that. It might be a morning kickoff for you.
Yeah.
Not 3.
Morning.
You're right. You're right. It might be that. What time is it in Qatar right now? The besties will know.
Okay,
in the
so
Slack.
When it was in Japan, Japan and Korea, it was like 2 a.m. kickoffs. And so, what's that, like probably 6 hours?
No,
probably,
Qatar is way farther.
I know, I'm adding hours to it. I'm thinking it's probably about 6 hours after that. Oh, Nick knows?
Okay. Nicky Soup and Salad. Hold on,
you
Nick.
You know I'm not good with geography.
Apparently you're not good with geography.
I bet you I'm close.
Sausage King of Chicago.
All right, Nicky Soup and Sausage, what's up?
So as of right now, it's 9:08 on the Eastern Conference right now. Eastern time zone right now. It's 5:08 in the morning in Qatar.
Okay.
So it's 8 hours.
8 hours difference. So they're not playing day
like
games
then.
In Doha.
I think England's
they're not playing
hours
day
me.
Games in Doha. Is that right? England is 8 hours for you?
No, it's five hours from us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm three behind you.
Three hours behind.
So really it's 11 for you.
Okay. Oh, you were saying 8 for you when you were talking about. Yeah, 11
yes.
for me. All right, so if it's a
we're
new
doing
kickoff.
On a podcast.
If it's it's a new kickoff, I'm going to have 11 o'clock at night. Oof.
Yes. Oof. No. 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, 1 o'clock
in the noon kickoff. Yeah. But they're not doing. How are they going to do noon kickoffs in Doha, Qatar, dude? I don't. I know it's supposed to only be like 90 instead of 110.
It only gets worse for me, dude. Let's say it's a 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. kick. That's now like 5, 6 in the morning.
Oh, that's deep into the evenings. Yeah, you know what? Your Thanksgiving is screwed, bro. Sorry about your luck.
Dang, man. I was all excited for a second, so I started doing the time difference.
Your kids are like, Mommy, why is Daddy's face in the mashed potatoes? Like, he had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch the United States play.
He had to drown his Pulisic sorrows in potatoes.
Well, look, 1 year out from the World Cup, I want to know from everybody, from the fans, if you really don't give me a bunch of analysis. So they got to play this game and that game, and they still have this game on the road in Canada and Mexico. Just tell me with your gut, just your gut, and there might be a lot of bias in there because you're a fan, you want them to be there, but with your gut, does the United States qualify for the World Cup in 2022?
You're going to go on the record?
Yes, they all. I already did. Yes, they will be in the World Cup. I've already said they're going
to
qualify. I said
Mexico's going to
qualify. I said Canada was going to qualify. Those three countries are going to qualify. That's my gut instinct. And
so
based
on what
Panama
on the bubble.
I've seen, Panama on the bubble, and you know, does anybody else make a run at it? Now there is also, if there is any chance at all of the United States ending up in the number four spot, Jared. If you end up in the fourth spot, you got to play a playoff to get to the World Cup. We've seen CONCACAF teams get absolutely smacked down in that qualifier, in that playoff. Honduras lost to Australia, I think, the last time around. And we've also seen CONCACAF teams succeed. Usually, well, in the only case I can remember is Mexico beating New Zealand, and New Zealand are patsies, and we know that that's what you want. The draw you want is Oceania, right?
Yeah.
You want Oceania.
And
so,
second to that, you want the Asian one.
I would think so.
You don't want Commonwealth.
Although that's the one you want to avoid. You want to avoid Combo Bowl like the plague. No, nobody wants the Combo Bowl team. So you will have the fourth round.
Fifth place.
I'm just looking at each one of these. So each confederation has a different way they provide a team to the playoffs. Yeah. So for the AFC, for Asia, it is the fourth round. Is a fourth round playoff winner. So they have the fourth round and they have a playoff to get to the playoff. If you
that
can understand
like
that,
Americans would do.
Yes, CONCACAF is obviously the fourth place team in this round of qualifying. CONMEBOL is the fifth place team in their round robin, and then the OFC is the second round winner, which is just their final round of qualifying in Oceania. And again, the only halfway decent team is New Zealand. And by the way, New Zealand, the top ranked team in that confederation, is ranked number 111 in the world. So that's what you want, right? And what we found out, FIFA has issued a statement on this, is that they're doing a draw for the matchups the day after Thanksgiving, I believe in Zurich. It's all where they do all their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's when we'll find out who the CONCACAF fifth place team or fourth place team will play in the Intercontinental Playoff.
How do you make a globally neutral site? That's got to be messed up. Someone's going to have a more messed up flight or travel, right?
Well, somebody is going to suffer on some level.
The game's in Uganda.
Well, they're not going to do that, but if they did, then that would obviously make it tougher for some nations than others. But, I mean, remember, Mexico had to go to New Zealand to play play the away leg in that
But that
thing.
Was too late. They were going to get one back, too, though.
Yes, right. And in this case, we were talking about one-offs. So, do you think that's more or less fair in this situation?
Fair? I think it's more fair because no team, like let's say the New Zealand team's not going to have to play in Azteca. Like there's certain teams and regions that have more money and have better facilities, more tradition, more culture. Like more, I think a neutral site is obviously more fair because it's exactly the same for both teams. Even a home and away is different, and there's certain things that are advantages when teams play. Like I don't think there's another team that's going to be like the Azteca if Mexico was in the playoff. I don't think anyone they would play would have to have a matchup kind of like that. The only thing that makes it close is the New Zealand is such a long travel for any team that's going.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, just catching up, somebody asked in the chat, Connor did, who's fourth in Asia right now, Australia? That's not how they're doing it. So they have a third round, which will be the top two teams in each group. There's two groups will qualify for the World Cup is what I'm to understand here. So right now you have Group A, Iran and South Korea are done. They're already qualified. They can't be caught as far as I can tell. UAE is in third, just a point up on Lebanon. Then in Group B, Saudi Arabia is in first, Japan's in second, Australia's a point back of Japan. They're in third. And there's a big gap back to Oman. So right now, if it ended like this, you would have a playoff between UAE and Australia to see who will play the other confederation for the right to go to the World Cup. So that's the way it looks right now with OFC. And again, I'm saying this because I guess it's possible the United States could end up in that spot, but more generally, like, it's still good for us to know what's going on with World Cup qualifying and how FIFA is just, like, they're messing with it. I'm not saying this is bad and you said fair and unfair, and I, you know, again, location, geography matters here. There was at least a thought initially before FIFA dropped this news that the games were going to be in Qatar. But the problem is that these games are going to be played in June, Jared. November in Qatar is one thing. June in Qatar might as well be the surface of the sun, right?
Well, it's November in Qatar. It's just going to feel like our June. Oh, you're talking about the... I apologize. Yeah. I think you're talking about the World Cup. You're talking about the playoffs. I apologize.
I'm talking about the playoff is supposed to be in June of next year for the last spot. The last spots in the World Cup.
You know, without the Confederations Cup anymore, maybe they do it in Qatar. Maybe that's the neutral site. You play it in Qatar.
In June, dude. In June. Man, I hate that we're doing, like, this is like where in the world is Carter Stadium?
Is Qatar really different? It's just above the equator. Is it that different in June and November?
Yes, it is. It is different. They do have seasons. I mean, I know what you're saying about the equator, but they do have seasons, and there is a difference. So the average temperature in Qatar in November is 85 degrees. That's the average high temperature. That's not crazy. And if it's dry, it's hot. I mean, they're going to do water breaks and all that.
It was 85 this week in November here.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you
Nick,
people live
are
like
you telling
that.
Me I'm number one? Everyone can't see. Okay.
In July. in
or is
July,
that the number of degrees in Ohio?
100 degrees basically in July.
Oh, that's not
the average.
You're fine. I played 100 degrees my whole life growing up.
Okay. All right. If you want to go with that, I suppose. All right. 1 year out for the World Cup.
Professionals, man. Step up.
Tell me. Okay. They're already being run into the ground. The COVID pandemic basically meant they never really got a break. They're going to go straight from playing in the leagues into the World Cup.
This coming summer. There will be no big international tournament this summer, which would have been the World Cup.
No.
So they'll get a bit of a break this summer, except for these teams that are playing in the playoffs. But
yeah.
I don't know. For me, I think if FIFA would, it's obvious that FIFA doesn't care about the players and whether they're tired or not, because they're talking about going to World Cup every 2 years, for God's sakes.
They don't care at all about the players. All right, let's go to our man Mike in Philly, who wants to change the subject just a little bit. What's up, Mike?
You guys are talking playoffs. I want to talk playoffs, man. I got to make sure Jacob Glessner gets that drop, that OB.
Okay. All right. Here you go. Oh, baby! Glessner gets the first OB. I mean, it was the first playoff game played, so I guess it's only natural that he would get the first OB for the game winner against the Red Bulls. You guys set soccer back about 50 years with that game, Mike.
According to Jim Curtin.
Yeah, that's what Jim says, and I'd set it back 100 more years if it means we keep winning. So I don't really care as long as the results for result and the Union are steaming on. I'm feeling pretty good about it. Another home game next week. I'm liking where we're sitting right now. So it's been fun watching the games. The playoffs are great.
I don't think you can do that thing where you're like, oh, we didn't look great against the Red Bulls or whatever. Every game is very different in the playoffs. None of them seem to inform the next match, Jared. So, look, if you beat the Red Bulls 1-0 in an ugly-ass game, you could go out and stomp Nashville or Orlando 3-0 in the next game.
I agree
from
a team standpoint, but if you're, like, Shabilko, like, you got to get out of your head that you missed a sitter from 10 feet out. Like, I don't know how that guy missed that. That could have not even sent that game to overtime. So, I mean, there's certain people that need to get past some of the things that happened in that game. But for Glesnes, I mean, is this the third goal? Like, by that dude from about that far out, like 25, 30 yards out?
I mean, got a knack for it.
It's amazing. I mean, at this point, it's like people have to mark him outside the box on set pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude's legit.
Well, that wasn't a set. Yeah, you mean like set because of the way the ball came back out to him. I see. Yeah. I see what you're saying. All right. Yeah, Mike. So give me some more general thoughts here. I mean, for the vibe and give me the yeah, the vibe and the way the fans were reacting to this team being at this point in the playoffs. I mean, last year was great, but you got knocked out very quickly. This year, not quite as high for the season, for the regular season, but obviously still some hope in the playoffs. What's the vibe like among the Philly faithful?
I think everybody's vibing it. Like, everything seems to be coming together the way we want it to come together right now. I'm actually feeling a lot of parallels with 2019, not only just positioning and where we were then against the Red Bulls and getting that extra time winner against the Red Bulls in 2019 too. But now here's the key differentiator from that year is instead of having to go on the road, now we have another home game next round. So I think the sky's the limit for them. I'm over the moon that this team is where it is this year, especially after losing Aronson and McKenzie last year. I don't think anyone was expecting them to look as good as they do right now.
Well, give me a scouting report here, and that game maybe isn't the best example for it for the kid, but obviously Paxton Aronson has gotten his shot now, like he's in the lineup to start games in big moments. What does Paxton look like for you?
I mean, Paxton's good. I think he's probably still a full year out from really being, like, contributing the level Brendan was before he left. Again, that's sort of like another parallel of 2019 where, you know, that was Brendan's first full year playing and really only has Marco Fabbi on the start. So Brendan actually got more time than Paxton to develop in 2019. But it was really last year that Brendan was like that true differentiator. So, I'm not expecting Paxton to be the one that carries us here. I think, you know, they're a gritty team. They're going to grind out 1-0 results. We know they got goal scoring issues, so it's going to have to be that way. Mm. They're just defensively, and it's really why they are in the position they are right now, is they're just so defensively sound. From Blake to the back line to Martinez there in the central defensive mid, and then Flock helping out from time to time as well. So that's what it's going to be for the Union. It's all defense driven, and then finding the goal from wherever the heck it's going to come from.
Mike, I agree with you, but when you look at your next game against Nashville, maybe the best defense in the league. You know,
wait, hold on. You don't know that yet.
Okay, sorry. In my bracket, I'm taking Nashville. I apologize. I'm
gonna tell you. So all the Orlando fans, people in Orlando, yell at Jared, please. Let's go. Let's bring it. Freddie, where's Freddie at? I need some people to be mad at Jared. Go ahead.
Well, I think they're wishing for an Orlando matchup. I would think, because the Nashville defense versus Philly defense, Philly's really good at trying to find that one opening, like Mike's saying, like find that opening that are defensively sound. Nashville is probably one of the only teams that can hold their own with them defensively. And so I find that might not be a very attractive matchup on the field. I would rather see Orlando versus Philly just from a neutral standpoint. Well, but I think Nashville and Philly. What are you going to say?
Go ahead. No, Orlando. You're right. Orlando's going
to
play.
I just wonder if Philly has the firepower to really win a home-and-home series against Nashville. That when I look at Philly's firepower, I just don't think it's consistent enough.
Well, look, they have home field advantage. It's a one-off.
It's one and done.
I think the scheduling is going to benefit us as well, right? So we have the game at home. I agree it's going to be tight. We have the game at home, and then whoever wins that game is going to be coming out on much shorter rest, where we get a full week of rest, and they're playing on Tuesday. So the scheduling's wacky, too.
The scheduling is a factor here. So they get 3 days fewer rest for Nashville, Orlando, whoever wins that game. Regardless of who wins it, they're going to Philadelphia, so there's advantage for Philly there. I think you're right, though, Jared, that, you know, look, Orlando's not going to defend the same way Nashville does. I think Nashville's firepower is actually something you have to watch out for. Like, they got some weapons. Mukhtar, yeah. So, yeah, Mukhtar has been great this year. So I think
my
Philly
apologize
probably
to
does
Freddie.
Want to
I that. Had my bracket up on the other screen. I was looking at my bracket at the same time. So I already have. So just to tip my hat a little bit, I have Nashville winning that game over Orlando.
I might have Nashville winning that game too. Don't tell
Freddie. My apologies, Freddie.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call, Mike. We'll keep an eye on your boys and see how they do. Obviously, again, they got to wait a little while here, more than a week before they get their next match in the MLS Cup playoffs. I mean, since we are here, and since you did mention brackets, do we want to take a look at ours and see how we're doing so far?
Yeah, we got Nick, do you have yours as well? We got yours to bring up as well? All right, let's bring Nicky Soup and Salad in here too then.
Let's get Nicky Soup and Sausage.
His is going to have a Microsoft
Paint. The Sausage King of Chicago.
He's going to have Microsoft Paint image with Cincinnati written in some part here.
What? Okay. All right. I think it should be like, if you lose, you have to go coach FC Cincinnati. I think that's the way.
Oh, man.
Look at this guy coming up with bets.
Yeah, I know, right?
Interesting.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's look at the picks.
Are we going first?
Well, Jared mentioned his bracket. Let's bring up Jared's and see how he looks.
Jared's bracket's
all right, so
missed one so far, but we can go.
Yeah, you
it.
Picked Atlanta. That's a wild pick to me, but you did pick Sporting Kansas City to beat a Red Hot Vancouver team.
When I do things like this, I tend to do certain things. I usually try to pick one here and there that I think is going to offset me from the competition. So where you try to pick up those points, you know, if you go chalk the whole way, I think a lot of times you just end up drawing with a bunch of other people. So I have a couple of things.
For sure, yeah.
So, I went fairly chopped, but I want to talk about the Atlantis New York one real quick. For me, I thought just Joseph Martinez, it looked like he had hit in a stride again. I thought he's looked good over the last month or two. So I was really thinking that a team like that, that's been here, done this before, might have been able to get a result on the road in NYCFC. I was wrong. Brad Guzan had two huge saves in that game, and it took a Castellanos really odd hit into the turf to bounce. It was a weird goal. You don't see goals like that all day. He literally does a full volley into the turf from an angle, and it just bounces over Guzan. Weird, weird goal. So,
yeah.
I missed that one.
But that's why I picked NYCFC. Let's look at mine, Nick, if you have it there. That's why I picked NYCFC, because they're playing in their building, which is so weird and wacky and small. It's like remember in Zelda when you would get into the cave or whatever, and you couldn't figure out which room was you got lost in the.
I felt like that way when I used to play Gauntlet. Remember Gauntlet?
Oh yeah, for sure. But that's even older than Zelda. I was trying not to. Is it? Maybe about the same time. Zelda came out pretty young, pretty early too. It's so hard to play on that field in that place that I don't think anybody goes there. And makes it easy on themselves. And NYCFC, now they have to go on the road to New England, which is going to be interesting. But I think the one I missed, Nick took it down, but the one I missed was I picked Vancouver to beat Sporting. I just thought, hey, Red Hot Vancouver Whitecaps, Vanni Sartini has them riding high, and Sporting was like, no, sir, we got you. In fact, I might as well go ahead and hand this out right now. That's for Graham Zusi. Jared, did you think Graham Zusi still had it in that peg to hit that ball?
Man, I didn't know if he ever had that, to be honest with you. I mean, he had
he definitely did.
He had game. I didn't think it was banging from 35 kind of game. Like, he was service from the end kind of game. But a fantastic hit. Beautiful man. Beautiful strike. I love watching that dude celebrate with the locks in the air just flowing. So I'm happy for Graham Zusi.
Still holding on to it. Yeah, the thing about
Graham is though, to finish my point. What's weird about when you watch him celebrate is that, honestly, I'm just so conditioned. I was looking for Beisler. Like, where's Matt Beisler? Where's Matt Beisler? It's weird to see Kansas City and Graham Zusi having success and not Matt Beisler there with him. Weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think the you mentioned the hair, though. He's still holding on to it. Remember, I mean, even Kyle Beckerman was like, you know, I got to move on. I know that was dreads and not just long hair, but it's like even Beckerman was like, it's time. I got to stop with this nonsense. Graham is like, nope, this is who I am. I will always be that guy. He'll be sidling up to the bar, shoulders.
Zusi's going to be the next, he's just like Chris Pontius now. Like, he's going to be relevant in some way right up to the last year of his career, whenever that is. He's going to find a way to reinvent himself over and over again. And I think he may not be Kansas City, who knows, but I think he'll find a way to be somewhat relevant, where it's the 12th man or something like that, all the way to the end. So so we both talked about one we've gotten wrong. Nick, have you got any wrong yet? Let's look at yours real quick.
Oh, I got a couple wrong. I also thought Vancouver was going to be hot and catch Sporting Kansas City. So I got that one wrong, and I also thought Atlanta was going to beat New York.
This Vancouver result, the Sporting Vancouver result, is an example of how, you know, we talk all the time, get hot, go into the playoffs, you'll maybe be able to make a run. Vancouver was hot, and Sporting had lost three in a row to finish the season, and that was like, nope, doesn't matter at all. Just throw it all out the window, because, you know, I don't know, look, Sporting's a better team, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I don't think you necessarily count on Kyrie Shelton scoring that goal to get you started in that game.
Yeah.
But or Graham Zusi to hit one from 35. But Sporting's a better team than Vancouver. I don't think there's any real doubt about
Kyrie
that.
Kyrie Shelton's goal, I don't know how he made physics work for him. Like, he had to turn his hips in such a manner just to barely place it into the back corner of the goal.
You think he meant it? Because I'm not sure he meant it.
You know what? I had that conversation with myself, but at the end of the day, the striker's job is just to make it happen. How did that go? I don't know.
How did that go? I want to know how that went. You had a conversation with yourself.
It's like, do I? Okay, no, but here's the conversation in my head. It's like, man, a good striker makes that happen. Then my head is like, is Kyrie Shelton a good striker? No.
Kyrie Shelton is above average, but that's probably about it. It was, you know, they were counting on Alan Pulido. He got hurt. I guess he wasn't ready to play. I don't know what went down with that.
I think Jared and I are still waiting for Alan Pulido.
Yeah, I think we both took him as our golden boot guy this season. All right, so let's talk about what we got right, okay? So let's talk about it, just kind of go through it. Let's put one up there and let's just run it all the way through real quick. So we got mine right here. So on the west side, obviously, I took a bold choice in Colorado. Just kidding. Let's see.
I see. Okay, that was your dad joke for the night? Okay, let's get that out of the way.
I took Portland over Minnesota, so I'm riding high there. I took Kansas City over Vancouver, so riding high there. I'm taking Seattle over Real Salt Lake. That's chalk. I'd be surprised if any of us took Real Salt Lake over Seattle.
Did not.
To finish out the west side, I then have Portland over Colorado. I'm not a Colorado believer. I know a lot of people are. Portland's got postseason juju. They always do. I'm going to take Portland in that matchup. I'm going to take Seattle over Sporting KC. And then I'm going to take Seattle over Portland for Seattle to make the final. And then from the east side, obviously I have New England versus Atlanta, so that's not going to happen. I have New England making it through that game. And then from the bottom half of the table, I've got Nashville running over Orlando, and then Nashville also beating Philadelphia. And then I'm taking Nashville over New England in the conference finals for a Nashville versus Seattle final. And I'm taking Seattle in the final. I just think Nashville, because of defense. I think defense is defense wins championships, right? So
yeah, you believe
it. Even though I'm picking against Bruce, and that's a hard thing for me.
You're picking against Bruce, the winningest coach in MLS history, at least in the playoffs, and I think he's passed Siggy now, or tied with Siggy for most wins. But you are picking a former MLS champion as a coach in Gary Smith. The guy does have an MLS Cup title to
his name. And he has an MLS title playing very pragmatic, which is what Nashville's good at.
He did. All right, you can bring mine up. Let's see where I compare it and contrast to Mr. Dubois. All right, I'm going to go East Coast first because that's where I am and that's where the people live. It's the beast. Okay, New England to play NYCFC after I picked NYCFC to be Atlanta, so I'm already right on that one. I picked Nashville to be Orlando, just like you. I don't think there's any surprise there. Orlando's a decent team. Nashville's going to be good at home, defensively sound, like you said. I already picked Philly to beat the Red Bulls. Snuck by that one. Could have gone. Penalty kicks could have gone either way. Thank you, Jacob Glesnes, for saving me there. I do have Philly. I have Philly beating Nashville. That game's going to be in Philadelphia. Maybe I'm buying into something momentum-wise. The goal-scoring issue is a thing for Philadelphia, and Nashville does have firepower. I don't know. I may be regretting that one. I've got NYCFC knocking off New England in Foxborough, which I... That's a little bold.
Are you just thinking like New England's got 2 weeks of rust on them by the time that thing comes around?
I do think the rust is going to be an issue. I just think NYCFC is a good team, and you give them some space. I know they can win on their home pitch because it's so tiny and only they know it, but I also think they're just a good team, and they're going to be able to exploit New England a little bit when they get up there to Foxborough. So then I have NYCFC beating Philadelphia in the conference final. And then we'll get to the final here in a second. So Colorado advancing through the bye. Portland beating Minnesota, already did that. Already won that one. I did pick Vancouver. Obviously, they lost. Sporting advances to play who I have is Seattle, just like you, Jared. I don't think RSL has the juice to beat Seattle up there in Seattle. So I have Colorado beating Portland at home in Colorado. I think, Portland's an okay team, but I think Colorado's a very sound team, and they're going to be playing at altitude, and they're going to have they have less problems with rust than New England based on the way the schedule works out, because they play on Thanksgiving. And then I have Colorado and Seattle in the conference final. Seattle, I know I'm picking against the Rapids at home again, in this round, but I think Seattle comes out of the Western Conference as champs. Seattle NYCFC in the final, and then Seattle to lift the trophy. 2-1 over NYCFC. We're slightly different. We got some different stuff happening there.
So, Nick, are you saying that you want to take this call before we go through your picks?
Yeah, because Eddie had thoughts on that.
All right, let's go to Eddie from Brooklyn. Eddie, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I kind of was going to go one direction with my call, but hearing you guys talk, it just there's so many thoughts going through my head. It's just really crazy hearing you guys break it down. Me personally, I just found it funny how Jason was so shocked that Jared would pick Nashville to essentially beat Bruce Arena, who's never failed at anything in his life before, and Jason basically picked City to beat New England
in
the round before.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, it's all gut. We know it is. It's all gut.
So, Eddie, who are you taking?
Now, neither of you picked Colorado. Is that because you just hope that they don't make it to the final because you don't want them there because they're not sexy?
Interesting. Interesting.
For me, part of it is that, okay, so you have a team that really kind of just burst on the scene this year. You've got Robin Fraser, who hasn't really done much for playoff coaching before. For me, it just feels like they need another year before they're really threatening for the top level. So I'm going to take in Savarese and Portland, you have a team that just for some reason the playoffs work for them. For me, like, I'm not saying it makes sense on paper. I'm just telling you, I'm going with the juju. And the juju for some reason always seems to come up Portland. And plus, when you look at Portland versus the Rapids don't have a game changer like Blanco. Blanco took that game on his shoulders in the second half and scored two fantastic goals to push his team through. Colorado's a great team. But I don't know that they have anyone that's going to be that type of individual.
So you're valuing, this is not an argument against you. I'm just kind of talking this out. You're valuing a game-changing player, which certainly Portland has ridden Blanco doing it in Kansas City a couple of years ago to get to a final. I mean, we've seen that before. One player taking over last year, Minnesota United gets to a conference final largely on Reynoso and what he did. You're taking that over a team that kind of spreads it out, spreads the wealth, plays competent soccer all around.
Young and naive. I don't think that it's the Portland ones. If Portland has to win this year, they can't do this again with this roster. Like, they're going to have to rebuild. They've been tinkering and keeping this roster with, like, duct tape around it for the couple years now.
If they don't do it
this year, they know that they're going to have to make big moves. And here, listen, I'm also saying that I'm saying that I'm going with these individual players sometimes. Look at my pick of Atlanta over NYCFC. I said, Joseph Martinez, a game changer. I thought he was going to bring it in that game. When you look it down at Nashville, Mutar, I'm taking him over Philly because I think he has the ability to kind of take over a game. That's a big deal to me in the playoffs.
Okay, but Colorado's not young. That's not a young team.
Not young, but I'd say they're naive because they're not like Portland where they've done this back-to-back-to-back-to-back years, and it just seems to work out for them.
Sure. I mean, it is a team that is experiencing success for the first time in a long time. I think you know what, Eddie? I'm just going to say you're probably right. It's probably because they're not sexy, that they don't jump off the page when you're making absolutely. The picks. That's a factor.
So then my question is, why the hell are they playing on Thanksgiving? Because this is kind of what I was calling in for. Like, we all grew up in the States. We know the importance of American football for Thanksgiving and MLS trying to get into that, I guess, territory on Thanksgiving. It's kind of the question, if you're trying to get into that market, would you go with what could potentially be your sexiest matchup? Or would you kind of like test the waters with a team and nobody really cares about? Like, I hate the Rapids so much based off of just watching MLS for so many years. Like, I won't watch the Nuggets in basketball play. what's the team in Utah?
Jazz.
With the Jazz. I won't watch that matchup because I'm scarred from, like, RSL Colorado Rapids from, like, early Opta MLS analysis. So I won't even watch those two cities play. So if you're trying to get into this game, are you just kind of like testing waters with a team that really nobody cares about? Or would you kind of go in with more of a sexier matchup? Like, if you're really trying to get into the game. So I think
Seattle was going to be the team when they scheduled this.
I think they screwed this up. I think they found themselves without the game they wanted because Colorado finished first.
This was
in the
likely
West, and the schedule did not work.
A week or two before the season was over, it was going to be Seattle and Portland or Seattle and Galaxy. That's what it looked like it was going to be. So when you're thinking about it, they weren't thinking about everyone sitting around the dinner table with a turkey on their plate with watching a half full Colorado Rapids Stadium play in this game. It was going to be Seattle. It was going to be loud. It was going to be stars on the field. And that's not what they got.
Oh, my God. How many people? So, you know, as much as it's a great story.
How many people are going to give up their Thanksgiving?
Who in Colorado is going to? We got to get out to Commerce City for this game that starts. By the way, you could conceivably make the game and make it home in time for a decently early Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know who's cooking it. Maybe you leave grandma at home because it's a 2:30 p.m. kickoff in Colorado.
That's right.
When
I sit down to eat on Thanksgiving, I'm a 2 o'clock family.
2 o'clock is that's pretty early. 4 o'clock is about where the soft spot is. But anyway,
you're not leaving time for
tell
naps.
Me where you. You can nap after a 4:30
dinner. You
can't
take a 6 o'clock nap, and then you're messed up.
What? No, you're
you got to have enough time to recover and still go to bed at a decent time.
All right, well, we can debate this at a different time. Obviously, it's dicey for MLS to play this game on Thanksgiving, considering the matchup that they got. You're right about that. And Eddie, I think they wanted something completely different, but this is what they got.
I wonder if Jared would have said that about a 6 o'clock nap in 20s. I just wonder if that's age talking, because I kind of feel them on that. Like, I could not take a 6 o'clock nap now, but I feel like in my early 20s, I took that to get ready for 11 p.m.
The truth about being this age
that's
is if
true.
You take a 6 o'clock nap, you might not wake up till 6 in the morning.
That's a decent facts. Shout. Yes, you're right. And
especially
and
with
the
that turkey belly.
Nap, the 6 o'clock nap is the... Is the get go it, like when you're single and you're in your 20s and you go home for Thanksgiving, you take the 6 o'clock nap to wake up at 8 so you can go out to the bar that's the one bar that's open where everybody has come back home.
There's just certain
things
you don't do when you get to this age. You don't take a 6 o'clock nap, for God's sakes, and you can't sleep past like 7 in the morning. I can't sleep till 10, 11 in the morning anymore.
Well, I probably could. I'm not doing it. I probably could, though.
No way. With a baby in your house?
All right. Yeah, no. I'm saying I'm not allowed to. That's different than I can't. I could if I was allowed to, but there's nobody.
That's too much
there are
Fortnite
there are children
media, like,
in my house.
In my house in the morning.
Who are intent on messing it up. Any other playoff thoughts here, Eddie?
I'm with the Nashville bandwagon. That's, I mean, I have a bias there because of Randall Leal, obviously, but in all seriousness, I really like what Nashville has done the entire year. I mean, I've had to watch a lot of the games because of Leal, and it's kind of frustrating watching their system and just the way they deploy him based off of my personal bias. But I think it's built for MLS playoff soccer. So I personally wouldn't be shocked if Nashville made a run to the final, and that's the team that I'm honestly rooting for.
And I'll be honest with you, I just want good things for Dax McCarty. He ain't got much time left.
A Dax championship would be nice. Thanks for the call, Eddie. Appreciate it, man. Eddie in Brooklyn. Great stuff. Yeah, that dude was paid to watch soccer games, and they made him watch RSL Colorado back in the day.
He was paid to watch soccer?
He was working for Opta. So Dax does not have an MLS.
He has a supporter shield with New York,
trophy.
I think.
Yes, that sounds right to me.
Does Dax not have?
I'm saying it slowly in case I'm very wrong. So I'm thinking. Okay,
he went to Dallas. Dallas didn't win it.
Dallas didn't win it. DC did not win it. It was only there for 13 games. Red Bulls did not win it. Fire definitely did not win it. And Nashville in their second year now. So Nashville, yeah, this would be an opportunity for Dax McCarty to get a trophy. That would be nice.
I'd be happy with that. That's just a good dude, man. I want something to go right for that guy. And we got Nick's lineup, and then we can move on?
Yeah, let's do Nick's. Let's do Nick's Picks.
Nick's Picks?
Which is a great, great segment name. Nick's Picks here
I can't
on the
believe
Best Soccer
both of
Show.
Went against, I mean, you can arguably say he's the GOAT, right, Bruce? I mean, dude just knows how to win MLS Cups.
Okay, look, it's hard. Hold on. Bruce Arena has not won a championship every time he's been in the playoffs. Let's not.
But he's won quite a few.
Got the best ratio.
He has. And
he's
done
more than anybody, right?
Yes, and he does have the best team in the regular season. But that doesn't mean that he's unbeatable.
Oh, like, Nick, how hard was it for you to pick Nashville this far?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, man. Okay. So you want to start in the West end so you can put it off for a bit?
Yeah. So much like you guys, Seattle, I think they're too tough. I actually like Colorado. I like the way that Robin Fraser has them playing. It's not sexy, but they get results.
But Robin
Nobody here, not one of us on the panel, thought they would be the one seed in the West.
No.
And
no.
It took some convincing before the season to get Jason to even pick them as a playoff
team. I didn't have him in my playoffs.
I know you didn't. So Jason and I both had him in the playoffs. I didn't think they'd be the one seed, but here they are. And so I see them advancing to the conference finals, taking on a Seattle team. And Seattle is just – they're Seattle, right? You know that they are a solid team. They're going to get the job done. I see them going into the Western Conference as Western Conference champs.
This is what I did. I picked Seattle based on their history and the success they've had in Brian Smetzer's record, but then I basically discounted Bruce in the conference final for some reason. I don't know.
Nikki Chalk and Salad here just went with the top seeds almost all the way through, except for Kansas City.
That's good. That's good. No, he did pick Vancouver.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned, you talk about individual.
Atlanta.
I did.
Picked Atlanta.
Yeah. You talk about individual players, Jared.
Yeah.
You're forgetting New England's got some pretty talented individuals as well.
You know what? I don't think... Okay, yeah, you're right. They do. But for me, the other teams rely on the individuality of those players. I think New England's good enough that they don't have to rely on the individuality of those players. But for like Mukhtar, like Nashville needs him to be successful. Even with Atlanta, the reason why I took Atlanta over NYCFC, they need Joseph Martinez too. These guys have to step up, and they're relying on him too. If Bo doesn't step up, someone else will. You know, Gill will step up. You know, Buchanan will.
Okay. So wait, what's your argument?
I think that sometimes like this, it's that one guy that the team rallies around. And I just think for some reason, I don't like picking one seeds. I think one seeds rarely win in MLS. And so you'll notice
that's true. Colorado and New England,
I have them both out in the first round because it just doesn't seem to happen. For those of us that have been around for the whole time, you're used to the 8s, 7s, and 6s winning. That's just what happens. That being said, I took Seattle.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You took a Seattle team that's known for they have great players in some spots.
Seattle, the Galaxy, and Toronto are some of the only teams that have made it happen from the one slot. Almost all the other time, it's the lower seeds that are happening.
Yeah, I had a hard time picking Nashville. In fact, if I could go back and do it, I'd actually pick them losing to Philly.
You would pick that? I'm not sure about it now. I'm feeling questionable.
Look, I watched towards the end of the season. I watched Cincinnati put 3 and should have had 4 on Nashville. So I don't think their defense is as great as y'all think it is.
Rivalry game. Nothing matters. What?
Well, when was that game?
Was Zimmerman out? No.
Was Zimmerman in that game?
I don't remember. He played. Doesn't matter.
It matters, though. It matters. You can't
he
be
may
like,
have been
oh,
there.
They
I can't remember.
Cincinnati scored four on Nashville. But then, they were missing their best defender? I mean, come on.
I'm not sure. But he may have
I'm not sure. He might have been there.
I think it's Rafi Gamba for the national team.
The bottom line about the MLS Cup playoffs is that nobody knows a damn thing. Yeah. You could watch every single game. You could spend your entire life watching MLS games,
we should have had Morgan
as a gopher.
We could have Morgan take picks and just do a random generator and see if she had done better than us.
We should have a randomly generated bracket every year to see how it does.
Yeah, yeah. We should have Thiago put paint on his hand and just put his handprint on stuff.
Great. That would be great. He would have absolutely won. He would have won the whole contest if he had spelled his name right. All right. There is some other stuff happening in the world of American soccer I want to get to. But this has come up in the chat, and I just saw it via Reddit. Fabrizio Romano. How we got to a place where Fabrizio Romano was reporting on MLS, I have no idea. By the way, the man stole my catchphrase. I just want to say that. Yeah. We haven't beefed about it yet. Man stole my catchphrase. Fabrizio Romano is saying that Josie is leaving Toronto, that he's going to be a free agent. So I guess they're just going to cancel his contract. He'll be out of contract. He'll be able to sign wherever he wants. That's a sad end, but I think it's necessary at this point for Josie in Toronto. And I don't know. Look, he had a couple of bright moments towards the end of the season when they were bad and they were going to finish near the bottom of the table in the East. I don't know what else he's got left or where he can go to be impactful. is my question.
You know, there's got to be a team somewhere out there. No, it's like, I'm thinking, who's the team that's on the bottom that needs to take a flyer on someone, that needs to try to do something like that? It can't be Dallas. They're not going to pay money for anyone. Who has a little bit of money to spend on a hitman? You know,
Well, how much do you have to pay him? He was a DP in Toronto. He's a $1.5 million player now. I think tail level player.
$300,000.
$300,000.
He's still a name and a body. And, you know, I don't think he.
No, I'm saying $300,000 is low for Jozy Altidore, even at this point, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's a tremendous risk for any team.
I guess that's true.
What percentage
of
games has he started over the last 3 years?
It's not good.
It's not that he can't be good. It's that if you're asking a team for a return on investment, you're asking for a lot of faith on their part.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. I guess he'll have suitors, but I don't know. I don't know where. Okay, how about this? What if you're Chicago and you're looking for, you know, you're looking for a new coach. Oh, by the way, Ezra Hendrickson mentioned as the name in Chicago.
Hope it happens.
Which would be fantastic for them. You're trying to get people to come out to Soldier Field. You had another bad season. You had to fire your coach. You're basically rebooting. They announced their roster moves the second the season ended. Like, it was like the whistle blew and they dropped everybody from their contracts. What about Chicago for a year for Jozy? For like, you know, for like $500K or something.
500?
Would you do that?
500?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. Like, if you're a Chicago fan, you've been through so much. You've been through so much. Is this the way you want them to attack next season? Is Jozy Altidore?
I'm not saying he's your starter. I'm saying he is a guy that gets 10 starts, comes off the bench, and if you get 8 goals out of him, you're ecstatic.
Okay, where my brain goes to is, who's a coach that he's had success with in the past that needs a bench striker and they can afford a name? Galaxy. Not that I want him on the team, but I'm just saying that makes more sense to me than a lot of other things I think people would bring up out there.
Well, you're gonna bring him in and then have him be Chicharito's backup?
Yeah.
Is that what you're gonna do?
That and or second striker when you need it.
That's weird. I don't like that one either.
I think about how many games Chicharito's playing a year.
No, I just it seems weird to me.
We're playing Ethan Zubak when Chicharito was out.
I know. I don't have an obvious place for him to land. It's wild. By the way, Bob Bradley outed LAFC, likely to go to TFC, which I think is brilliant for TFC. I don't know. Jared, I think LAFC is going to regret the hell out of this. Maybe over long term it'll be good for them, but next year, I just don't know.
And the crazy thing is, and I think the fan base actually understands this, where LAFC is at right now is on John Thorington. It's not on Bob Bradley. This is on John
for
Thorington.
Sure.
And I don't know if the average FLS fan knows that. Is that this all goes back? It all started with the Zimmerman trade. That was the first thing when everyone's like, "Oh, really? That's the trade you're going to make?" And that defense has been woeful ever since. Yeah. They've brought in these little short term players that they're really good. I mean, you bring in these really good technical players that don't want to be there more than 1 year. And then Carlos Vela's health is all over the place. That's not on Bob Bradley. He can only play with the staff that John Thorington's giving him. And they did a great job out of the box. But since then, the choices they've made on roster has been tough. You know, so they've got a fan base that wants to win. They have money to spend. But I look at Carlos Bocanegra. I look at John Thorington. I'm looking at a couple of these GM positions out there in the league right now. Bocanegra, I think, just got re-upped. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I don't know what the thinking is behind that. I mean, obviously, he helped them build a team that won a championship, so you have to give him credit for that, but it's been such a rough couple of years.
I mean, you could say DeBoer and Heinze are the problem, but who hired him?
Well, yes, exactly. And I think the fan base turned on Bocanegra because of the stories about Tata Martino that Felipe Cardenas was reporting at The Athletic, that they had a breakdown in their relationship. Although I think, you know, look, that's one side of it. I'm not saying that Bocanegra is the good guy in that situation, but let's not make Tata Martino into a saint either. Like, these guys both have egos, and stuff happens. But if it means that he's not going to be as good at his job as he should be, then, yeah, I don't understand re-upping him and bringing him back. There's some other stuff happening in MLS, but I want to spend a little bit of time, make sure we carve out some time for the NWSL Championship. The Washington Spirit, they had a movie season, Jared, and what I mean by that is, like, that's the kind of story you write a movie about, right? The way that the Spirit season went, they had Their coach pulled off the field, reportedly for health reasons. Turned out, nope, it was just because he was a giant asshole.
Yep.
And then, you know, the owner turns out also to be a giant asshole, has a culture of assholes, refuses to sell the team to the one person who seems like she's actually interested in helping the club be what it can be. And they go out and win it. They beat OL Reign, which they weren't supposed to do with all the stars they got. And then they go out and they win the championship yesterday against Chicago. And I feel for Chicago, but it did feel like Washington was a team of destiny.
Yeah, Chicago was on the back foot for a good portion of that game. And if you're Chicago, they missed Alyssa Nair bad in this game. There were a couple really poor goalkeepers.
Well, they missed a couple.
Issues.
They had a bunch of players missing. No,
Nicholas point right here. Rodman was fantastic in that game. She was everywhere in that game. But let's not kid ourselves. That penalty should have been saved. You know, the keeper shouldn't be beat by O'Hare from that angle with that pace on the ball for the winner. Nothing to take away from Washington. Great game. They were on the front foot. They played some beautiful, beautiful game in that championship game. But I'm just saying, Alyssa Nair, I'm not sure if that result ends up being that way if she's on the field, let alone Julie Ertz.
Yeah. I am. It's a little bit of a letdown that Chicago didn't have their best team on the field, right? That they had absences in that game that really did change who they were. It wasn't just Alyssa Nair, who's been injured for a while. I mean, it was Julie Ertz who was missing. There were some other pieces for Chicago that, you know, make them a better team if they're on the field. But again, I can't feel bad about it because of the way Washington's season has gone. And look, the other thing about that game that I want to point out is, and look, if it was in Portland, it would have been the same kind of vibe. It would have been fine. Obviously, Portland ended up playing an MLS Cup playoff game today. I think they were originally going to, I don't know what the MLS schedule would have been. It would have been different. They moved the game to Louisville because the CBS window for the game was noon Eastern, and they couldn't move that. And they were going to play in Portland, but that would have been a 9 a.m. kickoff for the game in Portland, which is insane. They move it to Louisville. They've got that nice little 10,000-seat stadium that Louisville City has built for both Louisville City and for Racing Louisville, the women's team. It's a perfect venue for that.
Good
right?
turnout there's a, too. Good turnout that stadium.
Yeah, they sold the thing out. There's energy in the building. I could hear the drums the entire game on top of the crowd, obviously getting into it. The broadcast was top class. So I just think that was a great moment. Everything else in the NWSL has been rough this year, but that game and that presentation and everything about it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And Trinity Rodman is the truth for sure.
And like I said, I don't want to keep harping on it, but think when I talk about Cassie Miller having a tough game, Bledsoe came up with some big saves to keep her team in that
goalkeeper of the year for a reason. Goalkeeper of the year for a reason. Absolutely.
I mean, it's unfortunate for Chicago that they couldn't put their best lineup out there for a championship game. But like you said, Washington is just the story that you want to hear. It's a fantastic story. So good on them. I can't wait to see Robin get some time with the national team and see what she can do there.
She did turn down the chance to go to Australia with the U.S. Women's National Team. Probably just after this season. And I don't know exactly what else
she doesn't have a dual choice, does she?
No, okay. No, she's American through and through. Yeah,
damn right,
she'll play eventually. Eventually, she will play for the United States for the U.S. Women's National Team. All right, there's also we can say congratulations to Union Omaha for winning a championship in USL League One. My condolences to Johnny Harks, to Harksy, who was on the other end of that.
Yeah, but he's buoyed by the fact his sons have an amazing season in Scotland right now.
Sons have an amazing season in Scotland right now. That's absolutely true. The USL Championship has now reached the final stage, right? Up OC, Orange County versus Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay has been
Orange
completely
County versus
100%.
Florida. It's the MAGA Championship.
You allowed to say stuff like that?
Is Orange County, do they train at Huntington Beach?
So Morgan, who is running our socials and doing an amazing job of it, lives in Tampa or lives in the Tampa area. I don't know exactly what part of Tampa she lives in. And she is completely adopted 100% to Tampa Bay Rowdies. I have a soft spot for them. They're very cool. I like the legacy of them going back to the NASL days. Rodney Marsh played for them. They got that iconic yellow and green stripe.
Did Ray Hudson
look,
play for them as well?
I don't know. So I'm sure Nick Murray will know if that's the case. There aren't many. Jared, can you name another American soccer team? And there maybe is one, but I'm just Is there? Can you name another one that is just so iconic with their look, the way
the fringe
Tampa is?
Maybe and like all that kind of stuff.
No. I just mean like they've been consistent. Like even the new iterations. Like if you see those green and yellow stripes, you know it's the Rowdies.
Yeah,
right?
I'm trying to think what's another one that would be kind of close to that. I think there was a time where you know what? I'll say Tacoma Stars. Tacoma Stars is one thing that's kind of up there as well.
Okay,
I know it when I see it. You know, that's what you're basically asking. Like when I see it, I was like, "Oh, I know what that looks like. I know that look."
Okay, you just referenced an indoor team for sure.
You just
asked
me for a team, dude. What the hell?
I do. I know you did. You're right. Not a lot of people are going to know what the Tacoma Stars look
is. I think long term forward, Madison's going to give them a run for their money. There's just the way that they're putting their looks out there. But you're right in terms of the history. Yeah, you know the Rowdies when you see
it. Well, but this is where we are now with modern soccer fashion, if you want to call it that. Clubs will have colors, and give Ford Madison credit. They've owned that pink color, right? That flamingo vibe, but their shirts are constantly changing, right? It's not consistent. I know you always have an away shirt or a chain shirt, but Tampa always has a striped shirt, like a hoop shirt, always, right? Always green and yellow stripes. So that's to me, or hoops. So that to me is notable.
Yeah,
I'm not saying,
I'll put this one for Lefty as someone who lived in San Diego. The Sockers have a very unique look, kind of look to them. And I would say, obviously, they're not around anymore. At least not. I don't think in their former incarnation. But growing up in the '90s, early 2000s, for me, Rochester Rhinos. I used to like have a very. Mm-hmm. I knew the Rhinos
also
look,
yellow.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Yeah, and I believe yellow before Columbus. So, I mean, they that was like their.
Oh, look. Yeah, because I think so. They think they predated Columbus.
Yeah, Rochester Rhinos for me.
By the way, shout out to Lucky Cassana, who came on as a substitute and scored the winner for Tampa in that game. They were down 2-0 in like the 83rd or something and ended up winning that game 3-2. It was just bonkers. A USL Championship final, as Nick says on our screen here for those watching. In Tampa, Sunday night, 8:30 p.m.
You know, it's
Eastern
crazy,
time,
Nick. It's Sunday night, or right. We're gonna be on the air right around that time. I mean, if you wanted to send us each a jersey from one of those two teams, we could wear both of them live on the show. You know, and represent.
Oh, yeah.
I just like if someone wanted to market that way. I don't know.
And the other Nick too. The other Nick is involved in the other Nick. Include him too. You're talking to Nick Murray.
Swag.
But the other Nick would also like to be involved.
I'm just saying, I'd be happy to represent. I'm a free agent. My team's out of the playoffs.
Morgan tried to saddle you with Orange County. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't send me Orange County. I don't want to represent Orange County. I'd rather represent the Tampa Bay. You know,
you look down your nose at Florida. They don't have the good beaches. They
I told you,
the
only
surf.
Good thing about Orange County is no doubt. And let's see what else. I don't know if anything else.
My
beach house I get every summer. That's Orange County. Other than that, I try not to own it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Orange County is not getting the Jared Dubois seal.
Morgan's photos from last week, the game earlier this weekend, were fantastic.
They were great. The one of Cassana sprinting away to celebrate after his goal, fantastic. Yeah. Make sure you're following Morgan, not just the show. Follow the show at Bestie Soccer on Twitter, at The Best Soccer Show on Instagram. I think we're on TikTok now. Don't know what we're doing with that. We trust Morgan. But follow Morgan. Find her photo account especially and jump on that stuff because she does an incredible job with all of that. I mean, you'll get some American football stuff in there too, but that's just, you'd have to live with it. Just wait for the soccer to come back around.
I don't know why Sean put this in the chat, but it kind of reminds me. He just put the Lost Boys, and I'm not sure why he's putting that. But what I would... Is that
Orange County?
Oh, I don't know. But wouldn't that be a good name, like for a nickname for the club and just go full 80s, like vampire-ish? Because think about what cooler look was there in the 80s than the Lost Boys looked. Like the leather coat with the collar popped, big fat, tussled hair. I mean, it's fantastic. I love the Lost Boys look. Someone should lean into that.
Okay. So I think that is supposed to be an Orange County reference.
God dang it. Now I got to like it.
Hold on. From what I can tell, the movie was actually shot in Santa Cruz.
Okay, here's my issue, man.
Which is not in Orange County. It's in
I'm a Galaxy fan, right? I can't like San Jose. I can't like Orange County. They're taking the Goonies. They're taking the Lost Boys. They're taking everything from me. Like
nobody's taking anything from you. The new Ghostbusters is fine. You can also watch the old Ghostbusters.
There was a time when Chivas was around. The Galaxy did like rally around the term Goatbusters. So I got that.
That is wildly. What is happening now? Okay, all right, sure. Why not?
I just wanted to bring the whole show full circle.
We didn't spend a lot of time on Americans abroad. We didn't go deep in on that. If there's a gap here before we get back to qualifying, I think it's nice for us to be able to talk MLS, talk NWSL championship, maybe toss in a little sprinkling of some other stuff before, just to release some of the energy that we, you know, all that expended anxiety and everything that we had around the national team, Jared. It's nice to have.
We got a few weeks without the national team coming up. So what I really want to know from the people out there, leave a comment below if you want. I want to play some games over these couple of weeks, man. Like every once in a while, play a game. What games that we played recently that you liked most that you want us to bring back and play again? You know, like listen to some of the old shows. Let us know which of the games that you liked. And I'll myself or Nikki Soup and Salad or Nikki Chalk and Salad.
You're over here starting wars, by the way, because what? Frank in the OC is very upset with you. Oh, he said the IE just sucks. So now it's a turf war between the Inland Empire and
you want to put together
Orange County
versus IE best 11 and see who wins that?
Oh, I know who wins that. Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. All right. So, yes, let Jared know which of the games that we play are games you want to hear on the show again. I mean, I feel like we have to come back around to some of the classics, Jared. Like we have to find a way, baller or blazer kind of deal. Like there's got to be something out there. Maybe it's something to do with this young group of American players. And some
I enjoyed
the
career year that we played a week or so ago. That was a good one.
That wasn't bad. That was okay. There was some math involved. That's where I was.
But
lost.
Nick gets to do all the math.
At me. That's true. We got Nick to do the math. Yeah. All right.
Two touch was, man, I have to go back and look at that again. I have my notes. I gotta go back and see. I've got so many games that I've made, dude, but I agree. I remember two touch. I did like it. I just can't remember what it was.
That was a pop culture only. That wasn't a soccer game.
Oh yeah, that's what it was. I give you a year and I give you two things, a soccer event, a pop culture event.
Oh, right.
And you gotta figure out which one actually happened in that year.
I thought two touch was when we had to combine a movie title with a player.
Oh, that's what it was. And Mike, you know why Mike's saying
Drillbit Taylor Twelman.
That you're right. And you know why Mike's saying that? Because he gave me a list of 30 really good ones. Really good ones in the Slack.
Oh,
so Nick, Mike has fully already produced that segment for us.
This is Justin. Of course, Justin would say this. Porn star or 90s MLS player.
That was a baller blazer game. That was a baller blazer game.
That was a baller blazer game. All right. Yeah, we'll do that. We got, you know, we also like we can get into the more pop culture-y stuff on the bonus show, too. And we do talk about that stuff over on the bonus show, in addition to whatever soccer thing comes up. If you are not already a patron, go over to patreon.com. It's patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. You can sign up a couple bucks a month, get you a bonus show, get you access to the Slack, get you access to the poker games and the beer trading and
learning about travel coordination for U.S. national team games.
And I'll tell you what.
We have a new channel.
What's the new channel there, Nick?
Bestie Sportsbook.
Oh, there might be some betting stuff happening over
Nick,
there.
I mean, geez, are you allowed to participate in that?
You mean like legally or within the confines of my house? Oh, no. I don't think there's any barriers to that. I'm just not a gambling person most of the time. But, you know, whatever. Jump in there and see what happens.
Ask Chris Wondolowski when you talk with him this week what the inside scoop is on what games to pick.
I was going to say, though, that without calling anybody out, the Slack is drama. There's some wild stuff that goes down over there. People telling stories about injuries, and you're following moment by oh my god, did they get out of get out of that place?
No, you'd be like when Freddie like almost murdered his knee, like there's all sorts of stuff going on in there. Also, there's a new channel called Bestie Gaming for those of you guys that are gamers out there.
We do need the besties to stop murdering their knees. We need the besties to stop in general murdering their knees. It seems to be a rash.
You're not really doing your best. You're not on your knees once in a while.
patreon.com/
Damn, dog.
In a probe.
The best soccer show.
Somebody did say that the bonus show last week was the best one they've ever heard. I can't remember who
it
was.
Good.
There's going to be one better, and it's going to be during this break that we have coming up right now, because I think it's our Christmas present to the listeners. We will come through with what we've already arranged with our wives to do the newlywed game with each of our wives coming on the bonus show. To do a episode of the Newlywed Game where Morgan is the host and writing the questions and find out which one of us can truly get in the most trouble with our spouse.
Now, I had an idea. I don't know if this is going to fly, though, because I know Nick does not partake on the same level that you and I do,
edibles?
Jared. But it would be, that's a thought. That's a thought. I'm not against it. The other one would just be if we do like a power hour and we record it.
I would do
that
it.
Goes.
What's a power hour?
You do a power
hour?
I
do a power
hour.
Power
hour?
Ooh.
Oh, you take a shot of beer every minute.
Oh,
you
Jesus.
Just take a shot of beer every minute. Now you have to go with cheap and
beer? I'm gonna feel
liquid.
So bloated. Oh God.
Yeah. All right. That's enough of that. Let's just wrap this thing up. I don't know where it's going anymore. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe. We don't reviews, Nick.
Got
Can
one.
We do reviews? Oh, snap. Okay, let's do Nick with his reviews here before
right,
we get
so
out.
So we're
here.
Up to 253 now. So thank you very much.
Yes.
We got over the 250.
Yay. We got to 250. I'm stoked.
Yeah. This next one is titled The Best by Maddie Ice. He says, or he or she says, "Hey, what's that restaurant you like with all the crazy stuff on the wall? This is absolutely my go-to American soccer podcast. Jared has a brain that goes in as many directions as an octopus's tentacle.
I thought he was just giving me credit for having a
breaks down
brain.
The game in a fun, pop-culture-y way. He and Jason bring plenty of knowledge, but do it in a way that doesn't sound exactly like every other talking head. Always love having the sushi king come in at the end and be disappointed with Cincinnati. Great show."
Nice. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Matty Ice, for jumping
king
in.
Of
and
Chicago.
We love this. The Sushi King of Chicago. Man, we got to get the original guy who was the maitre d' at the restaurant for Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He always plays assholes like that.
To record the Sushi King. It can't be Chicago, though. It's got to be the Sushi King of Toledo.
Yeah.
Sushi King of Toledo.
It's Sausage King.
Okay, it's Sausage King of Toledo. That's
going to
do it for us, guys. Make sure you check us out on all those places we just talked about, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Damn, dog, that's in a props.
Danger zone!
I wouldn't be caught dead in a sweater vest.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
That's him, Iceman.
Finish him.
Get to the chopper!
Playing hot dogs and donuts with two fangirls in the locker room?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Oh, baby!
It was that.
Oh, here we go, saucing them up. Hit him. What?
Go to DEFCON 2.
Duh and or hello.
Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal.